around here that, that aren't always seen. They work during the week, they come in at different hours. Sometimes they don't even see each other and don't even know what the other people are doing because they don't cross paths. And so, too many to name, but I want to express, first of all, my thanks to all those who work so that we can have a church here, that we can have the buildings maintained and the grounds maintained and clean and many other things that have to happen just so we can have church. And I'm thankful for all those folks. And I'm not going to name all of them, I'm going to name one, Chris Lewis. Chris Lewis does things behind the scenes that, that nobody sees and spends extra hours working on things, working on projects, working on other things just so we can have church. And one of the things that he has done, and most of you are aware of this in the last, since last year, is set us up where our services are live streamed on Facebook and then later posted on YouTube. And I am getting responses from people all over the country who are watching those services. It's amazing to me. Not, don't get the wrong idea. We don't have a following or anything like that. It's not like that. But there are people from all over the country who are contacting me and saying, hey, I'm watching the service. And that's a blessing. But Brother Chris is going to come give us another blessing. He's going to bring the message tonight.
Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Luke chapter 25 this evening. Luke chapter 25. Hopefully you're not turned to there because it's not there, so April Fool's. It is April Fool's Day. I have to have some fun here somehow. But you can go to the chapter that does exist, which is chapter 24. Chapter 24 of Luke, you can go to. And when I heard that coming off the piano this morning, I was like, oh man, I hope he's not preaching what I'm preaching on tonight. And then I heard he stopped at verse 12, which is good, because we're starting at the next verse. So, Luke chapter 24, sometimes that fear is there when you hear that someone might be preaching your message. Maybe you just have to hear it twice, you never know. Maybe it's just God telling us something. That's my theory, I'm going to stick to it. So, Luke chapter 24, and as you're turning there, I just want to, by way of introduction, follow me through on this, only because it might sound completely out of left field, but it really isn't, once we get into the scope of what we're going to deal with this evening. But Luke chapter 24, and by way of introduction, now, have you ever walked with someone but not know who they are? Maybe you're just out there in the public and you're walking side by side with somebody, and you just look at them and they're just a regular old person. Maybe you act a certain way to them, if you know who they are. If they're someone who is pretty popular, pretty famous, you try to make yourself all nice and groomed up and your tie all put together, your little boat thing over here, and everything just looks all nice and pretty, looking your best. Or maybe you act in a certain manner because, again, because then you think that they're well known. The closest I was that was a few months ago, right after the Parkland shooting. I was traveling down I-95 southbound, and on the way back, the presidential caravan had closed off the entire northbound 95 from where he was coming from down in Parkland up to where he was staying at. We're not preaching politics. I'm just expressing a close experience that I had. But I was driving down, I was like, you know, I've never seen this in person, so I pulled off to the side road, purposely missed my exit, so I could try to pull off the side road, just see if I could see the car. I saw a police car, and then this huge entourage of people, I was like, I don't see him. But he might have been in one of those cars, that's the closest I got, but he never saw me, and I never saw him. So it probably will be okay for the both of us stuff. But... But it was the closest that I ever personally got to someone who was well known of the President of the United States, except that there's a barrier on the middle and then he was protected by all the cars. But what if you're walking with someone who deserves respect and honor, but you don't treat them that way because you might be daydreaming or you're unaware of who that person is? Or you're talking with somebody, but you do not realize who that person is until after the conversation they reveal who they are to you. Tonight, we will travel a road with two folks who are unaware of who they're talking to, only to find out that it will blow their mind when they find out who it really is. This evening, I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, Walking with Jesus, Daydreaming, WWJD. That's the way I want you to remember this evening. Walking with Jesus, Daydreaming. Not what would Jesus do tonight, but walking with Jesus, Daydreaming. Or, if you don't prefer daydreaming, you can say unaware or unsuspecting. And we're going to look at that tonight, looking at the passage here in Luke chapter 24. To begin, let's just go to verse 32. Get the thought in our mind here, and then we'll pray and continue forward. Luke chapter 24, verse 32 says this, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" I submit to you this evening that we should always keep a great testimony before God and your fellow man, because you don't know who you might be encountering. You never know if you're possibly walking with Jesus side by side. But let's find out a little bit more about this evening. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, to be able to preach freely, be able to preach what the Word of God says, and to not have to hide it or be afraid of anything that might come through the doors here and try to stop it. Father, I pray you just be with all of us here this evening. Father, if there's someone who does not know you as Savior, that today it would come to trust you as Savior. Father, for those who do know you, that they would be strengthened, that they would be encouraged, and that they would ultimately just have a better walk in relationship with you. Be with me as I preach. May it just be simple and may it be clear, and that our minds would just clear ourselves of everything that's been going on. Just focus in for these next few minutes on your word this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this morning, as I was helping out with the breakfast and cooking and whatnot, I had that kind of experience I felt myself. In that, as I was cooking the bacon, I felt like someone was over my shoulder telling me, "Turn the bacon now. You're not doing it right." It brought me memories back of my sister, because my sister would love to come to these Easter breakfasts and services here. She'd go out to the service, but the food was where it was at for her. And since I was the one cooking, helping out with the meals, she would always be checking over my shoulder just to make sure if I'm making the bacon just right enough. I see people here tonight, so it was right enough. I also had help too. But it was just that I felt that the presence there, and of course it being different now that my sister's up in heaven worshiping Jesus, which I'm jealous of. She's there with the Savior on the day he was resurrected. Jealousy there. But the point is that sometimes you might have that experience where you might be walking with somebody not knowing who they are. But how is your attitude? How is your heart? How's your conversation with that person, knowing that you don't know who they are, but they could be somebody that you might suspect it might be? Now, we come into Luke 24, and we are going into the Emmaus Road, into the village of Emmaus here, about probably maybe the afternoon after Jesus had been resurrected that same morning, and that was alluded to this morning. So the ladies go and see him, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary. And Peter runs, tries to check to make sure. John figures it out. Hey, Jesus is not done yet, because he had his napkin folded, according to the Gospel of John, nice and neat. And on the side there, they indicate that he wasn't done yet. And that's a message that I brought Easter Sunday many years ago. But now, we're going to see just this conversation here, but how it can apply to us this evening. So let's go back to verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13. Two ideas I want to portray to us tonight. First of that is the lack of faith exposed. And that's in verses 13 to 24. So verse 13 tells us this. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus," which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. I had to do some thinking and research because I was like, I forgot what a furlong was. So I looked it up. According to Wikipedia, which is sometimes not the best reliable source, but according to some different sources, one furlong was about 660 feet. So I multiplied that together, and I got about an average of 7.5 miles away from where Jerusalem was. That should be a pretty good distance. That'd be from here to Hypoluxo in Congress. Pretty good distance, and they didn't have cars back then. So they're in this village called Emmaus. And as they're there, it was looking in Palestine. Verse 14, they talked together of all these things which had happened. What things that had happened? The things that had happened earlier on in the day. And probably throughout the whole week. I mean, that was a traumatic week. Imagine yourself being there and seeing the week before Jesus walking into Jerusalem and the people out there praising and saying, Hosanna! Glory to God in the highest! And they're praising him. And then the next thing you know, later on that week, he gets betrayed for roughly now $51 today. What a betrayal. And that's a thing that I look at today. And sometimes we betray Jesus even for less than that. By the way we act, by the way we think, by the way we talk. Oh yeah, I'm a super spiritual person. I'm going to go to church. Check it off my Sunday list and my Wednesday list. And then throughout the rest of the week, I'm just going to live however I feel like. I got to go to church. Me. I. But then, throughout the week, you are walking along and people are looking at you and they're like, that person goes to church? Really? Are they really walking with Jesus? Is this what church is really all about? Looking so peppy and prim and proper on Sunday. Nice pretty hats and dresses and suits and polo shirts and ties. And then throughout the rest of the week, I'm just living however I feel like. But they're talking about all these events and how Jesus was betrayed. And then he was brought before four trials. And then beaten, arrested. He was not arrested. And then he was crucified. John saw it right there, front and center, with Jesus' mom down here, Mary. And Jesus dies on that cross, spear thrust through just to make sure. He gets buried, and they see all that. And at this time, it was a very precarious time to be a Christian. Because what if what Jesus had said was not true? Let's imagine that Jesus did not resurrect today. What if what Jesus said was true? But what was not true about him raising up from the dead? Then why are we here right now? Why are we sitting in a church? Why are we devoting, we had 6 hours of services this morning, roughly 5-6 hours of services with breakfast and Sunday school in between and egg hunt, and then tonight. Why are we wasting our time when we could be doing something else? And so it was very precarious because they had to figure out, well, is Jesus going to be who he is? Now, so far he had said he was. Everything of all the prophecies had come down and Jesus had fulfilled them except for the one key thing. And that was his resurrection. Now, the Bible mentions different examples of people being resurrected from the dead, but that required somebody else to do it. You have the lad with Elijah and Elisha. You had just Lazarus a couple of weeks previous to this. But no person had ever risen himself from the dead. And they verified that Jesus was killed on that cross. The Romans made sure of that. So they're disputing, they're talking, they're trying to figure out, what is this true or not? As they get to this, they hear that he had resurrected from the dead. But they were not sure. Their faith wasn't as strong, possibly, as it should have. Because maybe Jesus was probably just like the rest of the other people. Just said some stuff and that's it. Verse 15. As it came to pass that while they communed together, they reasoned. Jesus drew himself, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 16. Understand this. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Their eyes were holden, they were retained. It could possibly be that he appeared in another form, according to a commentator here, or they didn't expect to see him. Have you ever met somebody who you didn't expect to meet them? They're like, whoa, how are you? It's that big dramatic surprise where you see some maybe long lost relative or some friend you haven't seen in years or months or days. And you're like, whoa! Or my best example of this is you're going and you're shopping, or you're out the mall, or you're going to get gas. Next thing you know, a church member pops up right next to you, like, hey, how are you? Didn't expect you here. And you're genuinely surprised that this person, whether it be church member, family member, friend, close friend, co-worker, is at a different place than you remember them to be at. And we're genuinely surprised. So maybe these two guys, they didn't think that Jesus was going to be right there front and center in front of them. We don't know. The Bible doesn't give us too much indication on that. But it does say their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Why? Well, 17, we're going to figure this out. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have to one another as ye walk in our sense? So Jesus is out here talking to these two guys. And he says, what were you guys talking about? Now, Jesus knew. Remember that. Jesus is God. He knows everything. So he knew already what they were talking about. And he says, why are you sad? It was supposed to be a glorious day. Jesus resurrected himself from the grave. It was supposed to be a great day. Hallelujah, amen. But here they are like, I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know. But maybe Jesus was trying to do this to see their faith. See if their faith was strong enough to believe that Jesus actually said what he said he was going to do, which was true. Or that you just be like every other person. Well, verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Now here's that unaware situation. They're talking with Jesus. They're not aware of it. But Cleopas, poor guy, he's like, you're just a stranger here. You're a foreigner. You don't know haven't you not heard what's gone on? Have you ever had that experience where you come to somebody and they're like, haven't you heard? And you're like, well, I didn't hear a thing. Maybe by way of Facebook Live, maybe you've had that situation before where you have wondered, what's going on? And then you have to go quickly research and figure it out. I mean, just very recently, I had to figure out what was going on down south was true or not. I was like, really? I started looking on the source and looking at the TV at the park, and she was like, oh, it is what it is. And sometimes people lie to you, which is bad, but I had to find out and verify myself. So Cleopas here says, aren't you a stranger? You don't know what's going on here. So he says, aren't there only a stranger in Jerusalem that has not known the things which are coming to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? I love how this conversation just gets better and better. They're talking with Jesus. They're not aware that this is Jesus standing in front of them. And they're coming to him with this sad countenance, in a sense. And they're like, I don't know where you've been, buddy. Have you been under a rock or something? We've had our Messiah killed. We don't know if he's resurrected from the dead or not. Well, verse 19, and they said unto him, continuing on, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Here they're already talking with Jesus face to face. But again, verse 16 was key. Their eyes were holden and they should not know him. So verse 19, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted in that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Here's their lack of faith exposed here. Jesus was telling us who he was and said who we thought he was going to be, but we don't know if this is true or not. Yea, verse 22, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. Yeah, we had these two ladies come by and say, hey, guess what? Jesus is resurrected. And they're like, okay, good, yes. Mm-hmm. But we're not sure just yet. Well, he made his thoughts were true in the scripture. Verse 23, and when they found not his body, they came, saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as so as the women had said. But him they saw not. So, here they are. They're standing here, talking to Jesus, but not aware that Jesus was actually in front of them. And they're saying, hey, you haven't heard? You haven't heard the word of the day, the news of the day? This Jesus, who was supposed to have come back today, we don't know if it's true or not. I mean, some ladies told us, yes, it happened. And some people went to the sepulcher, saw it not there. Now, let's keep in mind and remember this, that this sepulcher was heavily guarded because even the unbelievers who committed this atrocity of crucifixion, they even told Pilate that their followers said that Jesus was going to resurrect 3 days later. And so what if they come at night on the third day, they sneak him out. And they say, hey, he's resurrected. Have the empty tomb as proof. Then we're going to have an even bigger problem on our hands. But we see here, first of all, that the lack of faith was exposed. They weren't sure. Here they are, they're talking to Jesus face to face, but they're not sure. There's some doubt there. But now he will strengthen their faith by the word. First of all, we have our lack of faith exposed. Second of all, the lack of faith is strengthened. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools. Now he does not mean this to be bad to them. But he wants to help them understand and strengthen their faith. They were just unintelligent or they were unwise. He says, O fools, and slow of heart to believe. They were uncertain. There was a weakness of faith there. Their faith was being blind in the words of men, not God. They were believing all these other stories, but they weren't accepting what God's word had said. When Jesus said himself, that he himself would rise up this temple, this body, 3 days later. Oh heart, oh slow of heart to believe, verse 25, that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Didn't the Bible tell you guys that Jesus had to do that? Now, that's not what we picture to be our Savior. We picture our hero to be that knight in shining armor with the fancy hair, the fancy helmet, with the nice sword in hand, the sword in the sand. Hey, I'm here to save you. Or Prince Charming, or whatever the case you might want to put it as. But that's what we expect it to be. Not someone who has to get beaten, brutalized, killed. That's not a savior. That's a martyr. That's a sacrifice. What made this different? What made this different, folks, is that he became a hero because he did that for you and I, to forgive our sins, to give us an opportunity to be saved and to go to heaven, because not only did he fulfill the promise that he had to suffer and die, but that he did indeed rise again 3 days later. And that's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week. We are celebrating the fact that Jesus fulfilled all his promises. We're celebrating the fact that no matter what had happened, Jesus is who he is. And that should give us an amen.
Amen.
Because if he isn't, again, why are we here? He could be just like Siddhartha, Muhammad, all these others, Confucius, and all these guys who were wise, but they're still in their graves today. Jesus is not.
Amen.
He was shown himself by many infallible proofs. People, archaeologists, have figured, tried to figure this mystery out. And they have pretty much come to a conclusion, he's not there. Why isn't he there? He's risen. That's why he's not there. His bones are not there because they're with him, intact, glorified, up in heaven, watching down on you and I today.
Amen.
So, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures and things concerning himself. Man, I would love to have been there for that preaching. Whew, that would have been great. And he did all this probably within a couple hours. Because we haven't got to nightfall yet, which would happen later on in the chapter. And then in verse 28, they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. They're like, hey, we could have keep going with this preaching service. We could keep on going with this. But 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Jesus is hospitable. He went with these folks. You know, Jesus is as hospitable then as he is now, if not more so. Jesus is always wanting to come toward you. But you know, we have to make that first decision to actually come to him first. Maybe you're conflicted this evening, those here in the auditorium, those watching. Maybe you're conflicted this evening that I don't know where I'm going. I don't understand all these things. Why would Jesus do this for me? Jesus did this for me because he cared for you. Because he loved you. That's better than any love that you can ever get down here on earth. It really is. So verse 30. It came to pass as he sat at meat with them as he took bread and blessed them. And prayed and gave to them. Christ indeed, like we had mentioned, he did suffer. Like the scriptures, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22 and 24. The open invitation was there. As they're breaking bread, verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him. They knew exactly who Jesus was. How do we know that? We'll figure that out with the text verse we started. But could you imagine being with Jesus that day? How would you have reacted to that? Would you have reacted yourself in the faith that, hey, Jesus is who he said he is, and he said he was going to rise up on the third day, and I trust that? Or would you classify yourself with the two gentlemen here that we have talked about this evening, and you weren't too sure about it? I, you know, personally, after seeing all those things happen, and if I didn't know what the rest of the Bible said, because remember, the Bible hadn't been completed yet, they're still in it. I probably had the same doubts as these guys did. Just like I had doubts about passing a test a couple of days ago when I studied for a test, and when I took the test, it was completely different than what I thought I was studying. Thank the Lord I passed, though, and I felt that presence right there. But could you imagine? So they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Why? Because he had other appointments he had to keep. Jesus always keeps his appointments. Verse 32, finally. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? They were strengthened. They were encouraged. They were refreshed. They were renewed. Their lack of faith that they had that was exposed now became strengthened through what? Through the Word of God. Through Jesus himself. Though they did not know that they were speaking directly with Jesus. As we conclude, do we need to strengthen our faith again? How is your faith? How is your walk? And if you're walking with somebody, maybe you might be walking with Jesus and you're not aware of it. Maybe you're daydreaming and you're thinking that something else is going on in the day, and then you mistreat that person next to you. Or maybe not treat them the way you should. Do you need your faith strengthened? Is it lacking? Are we daydreaming? Are we just walking through life, not sensing the reality that Jesus is there, because Jesus is there and that he is real, that what we do and say affects all the people that are around us? It would be hard for us to tell somebody about Jesus if our lifestyle doesn't match up to the Bible.
Amen.
You're digging yourself a deeper grave. Forgive the pun. But you will. If your lifestyle does not match what God wants you to do, and you're out there in the public who is looking for hope, and you're not living the right way, you're not actively following Jesus daily, what's going to make you any different than anybody else? To someone who's trying to find the truth, someone who's searching for the truth, maybe someone has clicked in tonight, if you in the service here, and maybe you're trying to find the truth. Truth is here. Truth is here in the scriptures. We never know who we may encounter. So let's walk faithful and strong with Jesus all the time. Will you? Remember, we're walking with Jesus daily. Don't be daydreaming. Don't be unaware, because you never know who you're going to encounter along the way, along the road. The person you might encounter might be the person that you, through God's help, might be able to change that life forever. Father, we come to your prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. Father, I pray that you would help us, that you would strengthen us. Search our hearts to see where we lack. Father, I know that we're humans. There are times where our faith just is not there, myself included. Father, I pray that you would just help us to know, to understand what you have for us. That you would strengthen our faith, that as we walk with Jesus, that we would walk with Jesus daily, to not be unaware of who you are, to not daydream and go into a false sense of security, or to be unsure or unsuspecting about it. Father, I pray that you would just bless this invitation this evening. The invitation is simple. Two things. One, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, or you're not sure about it, and you want to know, I encourage you, when the singing begins and the music plays, that don't be afraid, don't be cautious. The people here would just be more than thrilled if you figured out tonight that on April 1st, 2018, that you know that for sure, that you're on your way to heaven, that heaven is your home because you have trusted in Jesus' finished work at the cross for you and for me. The second part of the invitation is this. Maybe there's someone here who just needs their faith strengthened. Maybe that they just need to get that encouragement to know that, hey, I'm not alone, but what I do can affect those around me. Maybe the invitation's for you there. Father, I pray you just bless and work in this invitation time. We pray. Bless those who need to be blessed. Answer hearts that need to be helped, and convict hearts that you know needs to draw closer to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. This will be the last invitation of the day.